Amen. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Freddie, will you lead us in prayer?
Our Father, just come here tonight, Lord. Thank you for the day you give us, Lord. Help us in a short time, Lord, to ponder upon you and your word. Even Brother Brad, Lord, as he stands in the Lord, just help him and his family day in day out. And help us follow you, Lord. Help us to get some more office, Lord. Use you as an example in our life. Lord, love him and thank him. You say our prayer. Amen.
Amen. Colossians chapter 1. Here tonight, there may be somebody here that you're asking questions about salvation. Maybe you run the thought of being saved through your mind. Maybe you've considered just exactly what God would have you to do to be saved. Maybe you just have several questions. And I know that even as a young man before that the Lord ever convicted me, I had questions. I would ask different ones, things. Some of it, looking back on it now, really didn't make a lot of sense. But as a young man, you just had questions and, try to seek answers for those questions. And, just a lot of that was curiosity, to be honest with you. A lot of times people were just curious. And young people, children, they're curious about salvation. And then we come to the place where the Lord convicts your heart and we have serious questions. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that you have very serious questions about salvation. Maybe some of the things that we all take for granted, maybe you struggle with. Maybe you say, well, why do I have to be saved? Maybe you have the question, what I have to be saved from? Maybe you say, who is lost? Maybe you want to know, am I lost? Now, tonight I want to try to answer some of those questions and just look at salvation from a very simplistic viewpoint. Sin is the reason a person finds himself lost. Sin. And the reason that is because Adam sinned. Because Adam sinned all the way back in the very beginning, the beginning of mankind, the beginning of creation. You have Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and Adam sins. And because he sins, the curse of sin was passed upon the entire world. Nobody escapes sin. Well, there's none that doeth righteousness. No, not one. Except the exception, Jesus Christ that came to this earth and lived without sin. Of course, he was the Son of God. And so he came and he lived without sin. No other person can make that claim. Nobody can make that boast that they came to or were born into this world and lived without sin. So God passed a law about sin, Brother Alton. He said the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And so nobody can escape that. You may say, well, I don't like that. And really, that don't matter at all. If you don't like it, that doesn't change the fact. We're living in a time now where there's a lot of people that don't like things, and because they don't like things, they think they ought not have to abide by those things. A lot of people don't like certain laws. A lot of people don't like how the election went. And so they say, well, because I don't like it, I shouldn't have to abide by it. I don't work with God. God said the wages of sin is death, and no matter who likes it or dislikes it, it's still the truth. The wages of sin is death. And so, to be lost is to be dead in sins and trespasses. That's what the Bible says. We look at death and we think the grave. We think funeral, wake, caskets, being buried. That's what we consider death. And, when you read of death in Scripture, many times, we're looking beyond simply being buried. We're looking at hell. The word death in Scripture means to be separated from God. And so when God said the wages of sin is death, the wages of sin is to be separated from God. That's what you earn by sinning. That's, as we are born into this world, we're born sinners, and because we are, we are separated from God. And so a person becomes lost whenever God convicts them, or I'll use the word tonight, charges them with sin. When a person comes to a certain time in their life, point in their life, age in their life, that God then charges them with being a sinner, and they are lost from that point. If you're here tonight and you're wondering, well, yes, you are a sinner. None of us can escape that. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And it's not that God is being cruel, He's not being mean. Exactly the opposite. God loves us enough to keep us from dying and going to hell. He loves us enough that He doesn't want us to stay separated. Even though His law says the wages of sin is death, God looks down upon mankind. He said, I love them. I love them. And even though they're lost, they're dead in their sins and trespasses, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So He made an arrangement there. He made a way of escape. You know, it very well could have been that each and every one of us born into this world, we could have come to a place to realize we were lost and then have no way of fixing that. If God had not shown us mercy, if He had not done for us a favor that we couldn't do for ourselves, we would just be lost and without hope and no way of fixing it. But you know, again, God is not just being mean. God is not trying to do you wrong. God is not condemning you. The Bible says that you are condemned already because you were born into this world. You were born with a curse of sin being passed upon you, and you are condemned already. And whenever God opens your eyes and shows you that you're lost, that's not Him. That's not something you need to be scared of. It's not need. It doesn't need to be something you run from or hide from. It needs to be something you accept so that you can look to God for His mercy. So because of God's great love for this world, He gave His only begotten Son. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you're here tonight and you say, well, am I lost? Question I have for you, are you a sinner yet to trust Jesus as your Savior? That's what you have to ask yourself. Am I a sinner that is yet to trust Jesus as my Savior? Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. Remember that word this morning? What does that mean? Meet. I'm not talking about chicken leg or steak here. What does meet mean? It means fit, qualified. So let's read this again. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light. God's made us qualified. We were disqualified because of sin, but God has now made us qualified or meet, fit. He has made us fit to have an inheritance. The inheritance of the saints, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom, and listen to this verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Redemption is offered to all of mankind through the blood sacrifice of Jesus. You know, Jesus suffered for you, lost sinner. He suffered. Oh, why did He suffer? He suffered for me. He suffered for you. And if you were the only one in this world that ever trusted Him, look, He suffered for you. But even if you deny Him, He still suffered for you. And we look and say, well, Brother Brad, I know He was crucified. Listen, He suffered more than any man has ever suffered before. He suffered for you. He suffered. Not only was He crucified, but He was betrayed by a dear friend. When you think about Judas betraying Him, he walked with the Lord. He supped with the Lord. He befriended God's people, the Lord's people. He said, well, he had a devil from the beginning. But look, this man walked with the Lord and he betrayed Jesus with a kiss. You know how that stings somebody that's close to you to betray you. But he sells out the Lord for a few pieces of silver, and then he tells his newfound friends here, he said, listen, I am going to betray the Lord, but just to identify Him, when we walk up, I don't want anybody to know that I have betrayed Him, so I will walk up and I will kiss Him, and you'll know that's the one you need to arrest. That must have stung. Boy, that had to hurt. Betrayed with a kiss. He was abandoned by his followers. Everyone left. Even Peter denied him, didn't he? Can you imagine how that hurts to be left all alone? Not a friend in the world. No one to come to your aid. Even the Father. He asked the Father. And there's a lot about that, Brother Freddie. When I study it, I still am yet to fully comprehend. But he asked the Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Left all alone. You know, whenever I'm alone, I'm really not alone. Whenever I feel like I don't have a friend in the world, I'm still not alone. Whenever I feel like that I'm all by myself, I'm really not all by myself because my Father hears me. The Lord hears me, and He has never forsaken me, but He had to forsake His Son in order to judge our sins. He carried the burdens of all the sins of the world on His shoulders. Can you imagine that? All the sins? I have trouble just dealing with the ones that I have sinned. And yet, He carried all of that as if they were His own. He became sin who knew no sin. He carried the sins of the world, every murderer, every rapist, every liar, every drunk, every sin that has ever been committed or will be committed was applied to Jesus Christ when God looked at Him and judged Him. You can't imagine the suffering. Psalms 22, I believe, about verse 14, it said His heart run down into the midst of His bowels. His tongue clave to His jaws. I thirst, so thirsty that His tongue clave to His jaw. So hurt, so overwhelmed by what had been placed upon Him, even His heart ran down into the midst of His bowels. That's hurt. That's suffering. He was abused by Roman soldiers, and I'm not going to get into that awful lot tonight, but they put thorns on His head. They whipped Him. They beat Him. And they crucified Him. And they didn't just crucify Him out in a field all by Himself and set Him apart. They crucified Him in the midst of thieves. Just a common criminal. That's how He was viewed. Just a common criminal. They mocked Him. And they come along after a while and they pierce His side with a spear and the remaining blood and water pours out. And the reason they did that, if I understand being crucified the way that the Romans crucified someone, that they would nail you to the cross and just the simple act of hanging there would suffocate you. Eventually, if you would hang there long enough, you would give out and you would suffocate because being held up by your hands, it pulls up on your lungs and it suffocates you. So if you can imagine the Lord hanging on the cross, every time He needed a breath, He had to push up on those nails in His feet. to relieve the pressure on his lungs. He would pick up, push up so that he could breathe. But they had whipped his back till you could stare upon his bones. They had placed the crown of thorns on his head. Blood ran from there. And so whenever they come along to shove that spear in him, he was already dead. And the Bible says, they marveled that he had died so soon. They were amazed at that. They come to the thief on the left and they broke his legs. And the one on the right, they broke his legs. The reason they did that was they needed to speed up death. And by doing that, they suffocated. They couldn't push up anymore, so they suffocated. But the Bible says that the Lord's bones were not going to be broken. And so they couldn't break his bones. They come to him. He's already dead. They stick that spear in him just to make sure the remaining water and the blood runs down Calvary. Runs down the cross. Now, what does all that mean, Brother Barrett? Well, listen to me. What I just read. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Because of the blood, our sins are forgiven. Because of that blood, we have redemption. His sacrifice is the reason we can be saved tonight. And if you're here and you're lost and you wonder, am I lost? Well, are you a sinner that has yet to have trusted the Lord? If so, then Christ died for you and His blood covered your sin. All right, what is redemption? Redemption is ransom. It's wages that were paid in full. In other words, redemption is a release in effect by payment or by ransom. That means the law that God passed, the wages of sin is death. You were released from that law because Jesus paid it for you. That's the gift of God. That's eternal life. Now, to be saved is simply to be released from the ransom because Jesus paid it all. In other words, sin held you ransom, but Jesus paid for it. Now, if you're here tonight and you say, well, Brother Brad, I tell you what, I want to receive salvation. This redemption, I want that for me. I want to be saved this evening. I don't want to put off salvation any longer. I don't want to take a chance on lifting my eyes in hell. First of all, let me say, thank the Lord, if that's where you are. You know, it takes a lot for a person to come to themselves. It takes a lot for a person to accept that, to realize that, to realize I'm lost and I need to be saved. And if that's where you are, that's a good place to be. Because a person that wants to be saved, they can be helped. Now, a person that wants to ignore, wants to hide, or wants to run, or wants to put it off, maybe sometime in the future they can be saved if the Lord allows them that opportunity. But that's really a scary place to be because we're not promised tomorrow. So listen to me, if you are lost and you want to be saved, salvation is by grace through faith. It always has been, it always will be. Nothing's ever changed. You go back in the Old Testament and people look toward Jesus being born and being their Savior. And here we are, 2,000 plus years afterwards, and we look back at the fact Jesus died. And that's never changed. It's always been by grace through faith. Remember what Job said? He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know that there's coming one that is going to pay for my sin so that I don't have to. That is grace. That's what God has done for us. He loved us so much, He gave His only begotten Son. That's grace. By His stripes, we are healed. Don't seem fair. It's more than fair to us, but it don't seem fair to the Lord. But He was willing to. But Mike, He was willing to be our sacrifice. He was willing because He loved us. He was willing to come to this earth and be subject to the death, even the death of the cross. He was willing to do that for us, for you that are lost. And so, that is grace. And this redemption plan that God has set for all of mankind, that's His grace. That's God's grace. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely, the Bible says, surely He hath borne our sorrows. We don't have to experience the sorrow of being lost any longer. We don't have to experience the sorrow of the wages of sin being death, because He bore them. Surely He bore our sorrow. He rose again, of course, to prove His power over death and over hell. But He suffered on that cross so that you could be saved. So I ask you tonight, all this left, let me just say this and I'll move on. All this left, Jesus has already done His part. God has already shed His grace on thee. Everything that needs to be taken care of has been taken care of. You don't have to work your way to salvation. You don't have to keep your salvation. You don't have to continue on the path that you're on. Everything's been taken care of. All that's left is for you to believe. It's as simple as that. All that's left is for you to believe. So I ask you tonight, if you are here and you realize you are lost and you want to be saved, are you able to believe that God loves you that much? Can you believe that? God loves you that much. Just be honest, that's not hard to believe that God loves us that much. You might question whether somebody else loves you, but it's not that hard to believe that God loves you. And He loves you enough to let Jesus die for you. Are you able to believe Jesus died for you? Will you believe that you have redemption through His blood? The blood, that's the message from cover to cover. Whenever we go back and we look at Rahab the harlot, and she let that scarlet cord down the window. That's a picture of the blood. Whenever we look at Israel and how that they were to take the blood of lambs and put it up on the lintel and on the doorpost, that's a picture of the blood of Jesus. Every calf, every sheep, every turtle dove, that they spilled the blood of, that was all pointing to the blood of Christ. In fact, the Bible says all those animals that were sacrificed, they couldn't make anybody clean. That they couldn't save, that none of that could save anybody. But it was a shadow of what was to come. It was pointing to Jesus Christ dying for you. Will you accept your sins are forgiven? Let me read it one more time. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. We have forgiveness of sin. We were charged, the wages of sin is death, but we have forgiveness from our sin through Jesus Christ. You know, if you go back and look at verse 12, we were made meat. The one that has trusted Jesus has been made meat to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. You could spend the rest of your life being thankful that you have been made fitting. You have been made qualified to inherit what God has for the saints. We sing songs, how beautiful heaven must be. I want you to consider what I'm about to say. I'm not being ugly in any kind of way. In order to see how beautiful heaven must be, you're going to have to trust Jesus. That heavenly home will surely be mine. You know why? Because I trusted in the blood of Jesus. Without that, heaven will not be your home. Without that, without trusting Jesus, you will lift your eyes in hope. Tonight, you have a beautiful opportunity. The Lord has allowed you to come. He's allowed you to hear the gospel. He's allowed you to consider His blood. And all that's left is for you to believe it. If you'll believe in Him, He'll save you. Even this very night, while we have a song.